5 ordinary friends have come together to explore extraordinary things. A show entirely based upon anonymity, we only go by alias names so our professional lives may never cross. Even our guests go undisclosed to protect the innocent. So sit back and have a cocktail with us, and please ignore our bad audio. Recorded in our top secret headquarters, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you the Monthly Train Wreck! Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the next series of interviews here at the Monthly Train Wreck. Everybody's going to like this one. We have a doomsday prepper with us today. We'll get to that in 1 minute, but first, let's introduce the train wreck. We're down one this week, but we'll start with Hollywood, the lovely, the talented, the dog lover.
That's true. Yeah. Dog lover.
Dog. Nice.
D-A-W-G. What, I'm just curious, how many dogs have you rescued?
Oh, to date? Oh, not that many.
You haven't dated any of the dogs, just...
To date?
To date. How many are at your house right now?
Three.
We have three. All right.
And I can no longer have any more, otherwise I won't have a husband.
Yeah. Maybe a husband rescue that's going to have to happen soon. That's
funny. Hollywood is in the house. We got Maddie, who's all, the king of useless knowledge.
That's
and
all,
also famous for dropping professional golfer Zach Johnson's trophy at one time.
It's true. I drank out of it. I didn't drop it. I drank out of it. And it was bent. And I watched them hot glue gun the trophy back together. It's a true story. Not supposed to tell people that, but I did see it happen. They were like, look away and don't mention this to anybody. But this is, and I'm trying to think of the name of the trophy, as I am not an avid golf fan, but... I did get to drink out of it, and it was bent.
But yeah. You didn't bend it.
I didn't bend it.
Right. You got bent.
Yeah. I got bent.
And we got Kramer. Kramer's in the house, our own personal Kramer. And let's face it, Monthly Train Wreck was born in your backyard, kind of, right?
It was inspired around the pit fire in my backyard.
I said Weekly Train Wreck, and then you were Mr.
I was hesitant to that kind of commitment, so I went to Monthly, and... I don't know if monthly is really appropriate either. We're doing
Stay
it.
Tuned. It could be my monthly.
Who knows? We'll see. We'll keep going.
All right. And, wait. Speaking of dog lover, I forgot to mention, I've got something for you. One of our sponsors, Zook and Lou Hats, who you love, their logo, which is of a dog. And you said, you know what? They should do this in a trucker hat. Well, lo and behold... They sent you a brand new hat.
Look at that.
From Zook and Lou Hats.
Fabulous.
And they made it just for you.
Latest sponsor of the show.
Latest sponsor, yeah.
I will proudly wear this around.
Zook and Lou Hats.
Zook and Lou Hats. So check them out. You can check them out on our website as well at monthlytrainwreck.com.
Awesome. I'm psyched they sent one for everybody.
Yeah, we get to share that.
You
right?
Can borrow it.
We
can
monthly. Cool. We'll check monthly.
We check that out, like at the library.
Awesome. And then we're with J-Dog. First of all, thanks for being here.
You betcha.
And as you know, we go by, we don't use our real names because we're all about anonymity here. So J-Dog.
It's a great idea. Like, yeah, it's kind of like the internet. It's like the internet. Nobody knows who you are, right?
Right.
There you go.
And thanks for letting us blindfold you and bringing you to the top secret headquarters.
Secret man cave.
Secret lair.
Yeah, what do you think? What do you think of podcast headquarters?
I think it's awesome. I'll tell you, I could hang out down here for days, if not weeks.
Well, some of us do that.
Yeah, or through a nuclear winter.
That's going to be the thing. So what about you? You introduce yourself or no?
Oh, yeah, and yours truly, S2H.
S2H.
In the house. So, all right. Well, you know what? We're going to get this started. And J-Dog, my first question that just comes to mind is, when do you think the world's going to end?
From now. Absolutely. That's the big, $50 million question. Nobody knows that. And is it necessarily going to end? I don't know if it's going to necessarily end. I think it's more likely to just have some stumbling blocks and problems. And there's so many different things that could go wrong. I mean, think about it. We got so many things going wrong right now with our culture and society. And then you look at the economic aspects, you look at the infrastructure aspects, you look at the political aspects of our country and of the planet, and you got a lot of things that could go wrong.
Do you feel I just want to know, based on that, do you feel like it is more precarious now than it was ever before in history?
Absolutely.
Are you saying,
no question.
So you're saying in all the years that you've been
prepping. If you dig deep into the financial aspects, the amount of debt, and that our entire money system is based on fiat currency and debt, they keep spending. And I was literally reading today that the college loan debt is so overwhelming, it's even larger than the mortgage debt issues they had several years ago, that when they come calling, there are going to be problems, because once somebody doesn't pay back, then the other guy can't pay back his debt, and the next guy, and it's a chain reaction. So there's a lot of speculation on how they're keeping our economy propped up, and it makes me a little nervous. Mm-hmm. To a certain degree, but I still have money in a 401, actually an IRA.
Sure.
Do you have any in your mattress?
Oh, yeah. Everyone should have. You should have some cash on hand. You should have some gold and silver. You should acquire other asset-based physical assets that are more universal, that you could potentially barter with somebody or share with somebody. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about it. If things go south for any number of reasons, and there are like five or six different reasons, if things go south, you'll want to have a game plan together. That's, I've been doing this for like 14 years. I was into it very early. It just keeps getting, in my view, more precarious. I thought I was bad in 2009, I'll tell you. That's when I was really freaking.
But we had a global banking system that almost completely collapsed.
Yeah, exactly. There's no question about it. And then I started to look at, do I want my money in the market, and where do I want it? Fear is an unbelievable motivator. Mm. I think that even now, despite they telling us the economy is going well, which in a lot of aspects it is, I mean, people are working, or more people are working, I think that's good. I still have that little feeling deep down in me that, I'm always looking around. It's called keeping your head on a swivel. Have you ever heard that term?
Yeah.
Keeping your head on a swivel. Always kind of looking around to see what's going on. And I happen to be a curious person, so.
Do you feel there's some chickens that might come home to roost at some point?
Yeah, there's no question about it. And you know what? They may not come home financially. They might come home culturally. When something happens that is totally unexpected that most people don't see happening, it's what's called a black swan. Mm-hmm. If you go Google the term black swan, it kind of comes out of nowhere, but it was right there. We all saw it, but we didn't put the pieces together. Those are the kind of things that, I tend to think about,
All swans are white because you've never seen a black swan until you see a black swan. So being prepared, there's comfort in that, right? It feels like you can proactively do something.
Yeah, it's a sense of control. The reason people prep. And by the way, I'm not one of these doomsday preppers. I'm not one of these fat guys riding around on an ATV, with 17 shotguns on my back. Mm-hmm. That's what my view of a doomsday prepper is. I'm just somebody who happens to believe I should have a skill set, multiple skill sets and things, stores of things that I would want in a very, very difficult scenario.
So you said 14 years ago you started this, 2005-ish. Yeah. What was it about back then that got you into this mindset? What
my
was going
brother,
on?
I'll tell you exactly what it was. My brother sent me a early digital copy of a book called Patriots. And the book Patriots is kind of like Lights Out. It's written by Jim Rawls, a former U.S. Army intelligence officer. And he wrote a novel that talked about a coronal mass injection is when the sun, a solar flare, and the grid goes down. And then it kind of takes you from there on what happens to society as it starts to break down without electricity, without insulin, without refrigeration for insulin, without meds, all the kind of snowballing and skyrocketing problems that happen without electricity, and then how people... And then he wrote two subsequent follow-up books about how they got back together and about how they forged forward. But it kind of opened my eyes because I said, wow, I really haven't been paying attention to what's really going on. And my brother said, we should be concerned about this, because if the light switch, if the power goes out tomorrow, well, the problem is you got about 3 days that people can last. Yeah. A 3-day supply of food in the grocery stores, they're supplied on demand.
Supply chain.
all supply chain. And you know, you go down where there are difficult areas, where there are a lot of people that are relying on food stamps, SNAP cards. The electricity goes out, and they go to the machine. They can't get their food. You got a lot of people starting to starve after 3 days.
Yeah.
And starvation, if you study starvation, Google starvation sometime, and just read for a day about what people do and go through. Well, your neighbor will come over and kill you if he thinks you've got a pot of mashed potatoes on the stove. Yeah. He will kill you because his daughter is starving.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So it drives people, makes people crazy. So anyway, these kind of things roll through my mind and say, you know what, I ought to be a little more prepared just for anything that could happen. And then in 2008 and 2009, when all that financial, the banks went goofy, I said, wait a minute, we got a lot of things we need to be worried about. One could be the grid, which, by the way, let me tell you about the grid for a second. Do you know if the grid goes down, if electricity goes down and they have to replace the transformers, the really huge transformers? Well, there's a company right here in our area that actually, it's one of five companies in the world that makes them. The name escapes me. But it takes about 2 to 3 years to build a single transformer. And those are the first things that would fry if the sun flared up.
Right.
Specifically, that's a natural cause. The other one is what's called electromagnetic pulse, EMP.
Yep.
And that's when bad guys set a nuclear explosion about 50 miles up, and it shuts down the power. But then you start thinking about, gee, where are the nuclear plants around here? There's, I think they don't have any electricity. What happens? And so you start to think about all the things that could go wrong without electricity.
Yeah, so I mean, I too have read quite a bit about that, and you referenced, and I brought this book because I read it last year, a couple of years ago. Ted Koppel, who's a pretty
dialed-in guy,
appreciated reporter, and it does talk about the infrastructure. They talk about transformers in there, and transformers weigh 400,000 to 600,000 pounds.
Yeah, they're transported
in millions of dollars
on railroad cars.
And then the other piece that is, there's precedent for, you know. So I'm going to get to this question, which is, you know, when you start talking about this, do most people just kind of roll their eyes because they're ignorantly blissful?
Yeah, everybody's comfortable. I find myself sometimes, I'm not so worried about it. I know what my plan is in every single scenario that I have some form of backup for that has been well thought out and researched. And I've read extensively for a specific scenario happening, okay? And some are more difficult than others. For example, in this neck of the woods, heating your home would become critically important.
Right.
So do you have not one, not two, but maybe three different methods if you had to heat your home, and how would you do it? Would you heat the whole house, or would you heat one room? What would you do?
Right.
You got to think that through. Mm-hmm. With that lovely neighbor of yours over there freezing, wondering he's got something that's warm. Darn it.
Well, I love your comment because I've gone down this rabbit hole of people, and at the end of the line, I've always said, "Trade me your bar of gold for my last can of soup." Is part one, and then part two, you have no idea what your neighbor is capable of when his family is starving, and his daughter, you referenced that. When his daughter is starving, you have no idea what your neighbor is capable of.
How is that bar of gold, though, and only in certain scenarios does that bar of gold hold any value? Because in certain issues, you say bar of gold, the soup becomes much more valuable.
Right, right.
Bar
but you
gold
see, once again,
worthless.
You technically have multiple threats, for lack of a better word.
Right.
Okay. If the economy and the banking system goes into reset mode and fiat currency or digital currency isn't worth a lot, gold at that point in time will probably be worth a lot and may buy you some value. Now, I don't think you want an ounce of gold because that's, what, $2,500-$3,000 now. You might want to have 1/10 of an ounce of gold, or you might want to have an ounce of silver, which right now is what, 30, 35 bucks, which might be at 70 or 100 bucks then at that point in time. But in an economic or a financial crisis, protecting my assets, my financial assets, I want to have a mix of some gold and silver.
Store value.
That's my choice. See?
Yep.
But
ultimately,
if electricity goes out and we need food, I'll take the can of soup any day. Right. See?
But ultimately, I think it gets down to guns and ammo. You know, I think ultimately that's one of the things that you want to have, because if you're going to protect your castle, if you're going to protect, if you are prepared and your neighbor's not prepared, but your neighbor's prepared to come into your house, ultimately, what does that get down to?
Yeah, what you're really nailing on is that you have to be prepared to defend anything, whether it's a family member or it's a food store or something, should things get spicy, is the term they say now.
Nice.
It's going to get spicy.
Yeah.
Well, let's look at like Hurricane Katrina, which illustrates your point, because they were 5 to 7 days without electricity and power, and they were shooting at rescue helicopters. And there was total chaos. They looted the stores.
Look at the Bahamas less than two weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bahamas. They had people looting, and if you didn't have a gun in the Bahamas, you were on the verge of getting yourself shot by a looter.
If you had anything of value without a gun to protect yourself.
So so the crux of that is humanity unwinds quickly.
Very quickly.
And structure. And you know, this lovely society that we have. And that's really the concern, is that it doesn't take much, and you start pulling on that thread.
3 days.
And I think we maybe said before we started, but just the root of man's tendency to be evil reveals itself in short order. Right.
Let me mention something to you for a second about guns, though. A lot of people are frightened of guns. They can be terrifying to people. My wife, for a while, was a little bit afraid of guns, and we you know, I have a rifle and a pistol, and I feel pretty confident in that. But it was the training that we went through, the extensive training and the ongoing training, the confidence built that we understand, started to begin, and understood. It wasn't as hard for me because I'm former military, but the gun becomes a tool that you only deploy when you would absolutely need to deploy it. So that's kind of the philosophy behind it.
Sure.
But you have to know how to use it. I know people that I bought a gun and they check off on the list, okay, I got that, and it sits in the closet and they do nothing with it.
Right.
They don't even know how to load it.
They barely know how to load it, and
it's like they barely have enough ammo to really.
Right, and they make me a little nervous because they're not trained
Well, it's like I bought a bag of seed, but I don't really know how to plant or when or how to harvest or cultivate or.
I've got the most beautiful tomatoes this year. I've got organic gardens.
You didn't
galore.
Bring any?
No, I didn't.
So was that part of your prepping?
Prepping is they say you can't just buy seed. You got to have experience planting every month. So everything from cucumbers to, I've done them all because you need to know the nuances of them. But yeah, that was a little bit. But then I love to cook and I love to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And I like organic foods because it's better. Mm-hmm. I believe it is.
Yeah.
It doesn't have all the GMO and the glyphosate and all the other. So to me, it's become kind of an annual thing that I look forward to, like baseball season. Like, what's the harvest going to be this year and how big is it going to be? So that's kind of part of it, yeah.
So what kind of prepping did you start with?
Started with bulk food, things that would last, a lot of Mylar bags, a lot of oxygen absorbents that you could store, dried beans that'll last you for a long, long time. And by the way, let me bring this up, a little pet peeve, is that, you know, they'll say on canned food or packaged food, goodbye eat by this date.
Yes.
Listen, you can keep that
it's canned.
Food, it's canned. You can keep it for another 10 or 15 years without any problems. The only thing that happens is it loses minor percentages of its nutritional value.
Right.
It still will bring you nutrition and calories, which you need at that kind of point. But so I started prepping with basic food groups that I know would last a long time that I could feed and survive on. I would have everything from, you know, beans and rice to canned fats, as I call them, like canned meats, canned chickens and things, because your body does need fat. You can't be without it. I mean, we get big jars of coconut oil and, you know, a variety of things like that. Everything that we like, we tend to stockpile on. So, and then on the other side of that, we went out, and it's pretty expensive, but we invested in some dehydrated food that will last until...
Ice cream?
No ice cream. But no,
I'm not
but,
coming
but
over to your
stuff
house.
That's good to eat that will fill you up. So,
so how much do you need? What's the appropriate amount?
You know what? You're going to have to Google that and look that up. I can't remember, but I've got it in several locations and enough. And
okay.
I really can't pull. I don't have that number on the top of my head. But.
So if the grid went down, how long would you be able to last at your, with what you have stored? You said 3 days for everybody else. You're able
to probably easily 9 months, 6 to 9 months easily. Probably feeding a few neighbors in there without to become part of my band of gypsies.
Right.
So do you have that all visualized? So if you have that, you have these caches of food in different locations, and you talk about feeding neighbors.
Actually, two locations.
Do you visualize how you would organize after the...
Yeah, I've had discussions with... I've had thoughts about that. The real issue is that when you look at your neighborhood, and if you go home tonight, you look at your neighborhood, you got to ask yourself around you, who around here would I want to be
aligned
with? Who's not going to totally flip out and start screaming? Who is going to have emotional difficulty? Because some people are more prone to emotion. They don't rationally think.
Do you have people picked out? Like who you would want? You do.
Have you talked to them about it?
Some people do. I will tell you the three doctors in the neighborhood I would.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You always want to have any doctors in your neighborhood, you want to just take them in.
Sure.
As part of prepping is prepping medical supplies. So, because I've had some medical training, I've got some pretty extensive stores in that area as well. Because not only my own personal heart meds that I backed up and stored up, but I mean, I've got...
Antibiotics?
I've got two big boxes. We buy those in Mexico. I'm going to tell you something right now. They do last.
Yeah.
There are only two of them that go bad.
But
what's
like
the one that
said,
they give for acne? It's
tetracycline.
Tetracycline goes bad and can be very dangerous.
Okay, dangerous. But what like the nutritional value declining in food, the effectiveness of the medication?
Yeah, there's no question about that.
Right.
So you have to replace them. Mm-hmm. So. But get to know your doctors in the neighborhood. Get to know anybody who's a law enforcement.
Do people all know that they're coming to your...
You get to know them as a friend. Okay. Most of them have no idea.
They'll know as soon as shit hits the fan.
Well, yeah.
They're going to find out who's prepped.
Yeah. They're going to find out who's got a generator going. See,
right.
Because that's
right.
How people tend to think. I'll have a generator. The electricity goes out.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you know how to make them quiet.
But there's also it also creates a beacon,
you know,
that you draw who you want and who you don't
that's
want.
I
draw
think the all toughest the... part is when you're prepared and no one else is.
Yeah.
That's the toughest
that
part.
That is the toughest part.
Because now everybody's coming to you.
Yep.
And how do you say no?
Yep.
And where...
That's why you got to be able to hide.
Line? Exactly. Do you stay in your neighborhood or do you bug out?
I've got the option for staying in my neighborhood depending on the scenario. Or have the option of going someplace.
Because in the little bit that I've read, it seems like most people try to have like a bug out pack and then they want to get away from society as much as possible because of those reasons.
Bug out packs are really easy. It's everything you're going to throw in the back of the car that's in a backpack or that you could carry on your back.
I mean,
all the essentials.
There's a great scene in War of the Worlds with the remake with Tom Cruise where he has the only car that's running. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And he's got his kids and they're driving through and there was an electromagnetic pulse when the ships came down. And so at the time, I don't know, his car was being worked on and then he put the battery on afterwards. And it is such a visual representation of like he's trying to drive through the village. He's got the only working car, right? And people are just... trying to get, hey, take my child, take this, and they're just climbing on the car, and then somebody pulls out a gun and shoots somebody, and then they're like, get out of the car, and he just gets out of the car, and he's like, okay, and then two guys start shooting each other, and one guy gets killed over the car.
You gotta understand and it's like, the mistake that Cruz made was he drove through a town, and he drove on conventional roads.
Correct. He was trying not to, I think. But
so when
J-Dog wouldn't make that mistake.
Yeah, J-Dog wouldn't make that mistake because you see, if you have maps and you know where all the electrical towers are, and it's always clean grass underneath the electrical towers, and you also know where all the former railroad lines are, you have the ability.
Get to the 76.
Good tips. Tips by J-Dog. Yeah.
Yep.
Bug out tip.
We joked before we started recording, and we were talking about your backyard.
Yeah.
You have anything buried in the backyard?
No. It's there's no reason to.
Right. Are you critical of other preppers that you hear about, like things that they do, and you go, oh, that's silly from what
just
I know?
Just those big 500-pound guys that are on ATVs driving around the TV shows. Those guys, it's like, what kind of nutball are you?
This is one thing I've never quite figured out, or was sort of interesting to me. You know, we live in an area where there's water everywhere, so I'm trying to understand when people would store like 5 years worth of water, when I'm like, can't you just buy a $100 filter that filters like 500 gallons of it? Would you buy filters or would you store water?
I would have both, and frankly I do. I have a 55 gallon barrel of water that I change out every October.
Nice.
So it's kind of like an account where every October I drain it all and I put new water in it. That's from the city. But then I've got water filters as well.
Right,
so.
Okay.
Have you seen the new Life Straw?
Yeah.
Right? Where you can like go drink out of a lake. And
How long does that filter last, though?
It doesn't last long. You want a Berkey. You want a couple of Berkeys that you can pour.
Yeah.
But don't test your Berkey out. In other words, don't get the filter wet until you're ready to use it, because that starts the shelf life of the filter.
Mm, interesting.
See, it'll and then dry those filters out, only bad. Last so long. I think you have to come up with ways of filtering water almost naturally.
Or if you can boil it.
Yeah, you do it the old-fashioned way. There, you look on the internet. There are plenty of ways of filtering water. You can do it with sand, with charcoal and gravel.
Mm-hmm.
You can create a bin, and you can recycle your water now.
Or solar stills or all those different
things. Yeah, exactly. A million different ways. So.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my point. That's why I always thought it was fascinating. Yeah. I mean, I've seen a couple of that show. They used to have it on Discovery. And guys would have just a garage full of water. And I'm like,
no, that's a little too.
Buy a few filters. And
The other thing is, you should know where water is available that you can walk and potentially get it. Or how would you get it from a pond that might be, like, if there's a pond around in your neighborhood, how would you get the water to your house?
Right.
Well, you know, one of the solutions is you use a cart that you use to carry a deer carcass out of the woods. You use that to carry a couple of 5 gallons.
It's like a sled with big
with big wheels on it.
Sure.
And you pull it back to your house. Would be a little more easier and not as rough on your carrying. But, you know, you've asked me a little bit about food and about guns and ammo. And, I'll give you a take on a couple things. If you do decide to get a gun at some point in time, or several guns, maybe you get a handgun and you get a rifle, you want to consolidate the caliber of ammunition. You don't want to be these guys that have got 15 different guns with 15 different calibers and then not have the right caliber when you need it. Less is better in the type of calibers you've got, so that you can grab and go should you have to grab and go.
And that might be a better currency. Ammunition might be a better currency.
No question about it.
$20 bills, right?
Right.
I've thought about that too, in terms of the practicality of having guns in that scenario, and a handgun maybe for protection and a rifle for hunting. But even you think about, I've thought about, you know, you talk about guns all the time. Even just like a .22 for hunting small game, which is much more abundant than waiting.
Great for rabbits.
Deer.
Yeah.
Rabbits are a lot more abundant. The .22.
It's quieter.
Tons of ammo is available. It's, if you're stockpiling, it's cheap, it's light, it's easy for someone who doesn't know how to shoot to shoot.
That's right. It's like going back to summer camp.
But it's not one that a lot of hunters right now go, you gotta have a .22. But for a prepping situation, a .22 might be a perfect.
You might want to have a .22. You might want to have a strong defensive handgun caliber, and then you might want to have a rifle that allows you to hunt larger game or protect you from that crazy neighbor. So those are things that you've got to get a strategy for and figure it out before you do it. And then, of course, you have to get the training, safety training first, of course, so you don't shoot yourself or someone else. But, you know, the other thing is that you may not realize this, but I was an EMT for 6 years with our local fire department. And I did it. I was pretty old when I started. I was in my late 50s. I went back to school and became an EMT. And I did that for two reasons. I wanted to have the skill sets to do pre-hospital care for somebody that might be hurt until that neighbor doctor could come that I mentioned before. And the second thing is that I wanted it for the experience in dealing with stress, because running the rigs and being on an ambulance once or twice a week can be stressful, especially when you first start doing it, because you don't know what surprise you're going to get and how you're going to respond and what you're going to do. But you do it long enough and you do it for 6 years, you start to begin to understand how to manage the stress of a stressful situation. Plus, you get the added benefit when you start to get a little older and one of your friends needs CPR or chokes on food at the restaurant with you, or, you know, or has a heart attack. You can be the guy that knows what to do. So there's a real value in taking some Red Cross classes, first responder classes. You might even go back to go to EMT school and work with your local fire department. That's another great way of doing it. So that again is all part of, quote, just being prepared for what's out there, you know.
What does your family think of?
That was my question. Is your wife on board with all this?
100%.
100%. Was she from the beginning?
No. Initially, it was like, okay, and listen. But the more she would read and the more she's looked at the economy, the culture problems, the politics, the issues of our country, quite frankly, of our planet, the infrastructure of our country, it's just taken her a little longer to come on board. And especially because she's a big organics, she has a theory that they're poisoning the food with glyphosate and the other things, and she likes the idea of us raising as much of our own food as possible, because then we know what's in it.
Sure, mm-hmm. I can appreciate that.
That becomes real important to her on that side. So she's on board 100%. But the funny story is when I went and I became a member of the fire department as an EMT, I had not told my children. And so I posted a picture of me getting my fire department badge as a fire, as an EMT on Facebook. And both of my daughters immediately said, "Dad, what the F? What are you doing? What's that all about?" And then I told them what I'd been doing for the past 5 months in school. That's where my daughters call it another midlife crisis. Yeah. You know, in life you have these midlife crises. So I keep having them.
Yeah,
it's really bucket list.
What do your daughters think? Like, so they've probably seen this over the years.
It's funny. My daughter just asked me, "So, Dad, where do I go? Location one or location two? Should something happen?" And both of them, I have given kits, bug out kits, and 2 5-gallon pails with specific foodstuffs in them that they keep in their basement, along with a couple of, those big jugs of water that go in a water machine. Mm-hmm. You can usually get them at the big box stores. They have a couple of those. And I said, "You're in good shape just for getting someplace." So.
Sure.
Yeah, no, they understand. Believe me, the younger people today smell that something is not quite right.
So of the various potential issues, so viruses or like an electromagnetic pulse from a nuclear war, solar flares, or economic collapse, which of those do you think is most likely? I mean, which one concerns
I'll tell you
the
something
most?
I couldn't put my finger on it. It changes every day. About a year and a half ago, it was not in the news very widely, but somebody had attacked some power stations in California, had started shooting them with round, and had broken open the oil jackets that are around these very expensive transformers, and the power went down, and it took them a little while to get out there and discover that there were bullet holes. And a lot of people were speculative that that was a test run. Somebody was testing the system to see if that would be. So at that point in time right now, I was kind of like, well, I better make sure that, you know, it could be electricity. I happen to believe, I think it's going to be culturally related. Culturally and politically.
Civil war, unrest, things like that.
It's going to be just people are going to go ballistic more than they already are. Look at people today. They're people are acting irrational. They're acting highly emotional. They're crazy. They're blurting out things.
Country's as divided as it's been probably since the Civil War.
The country is divided. There's no question about it. And it's really funny. There's an article, and I can't think of the guy's name. It's really brilliant. But it says that a civil war begins when one side refuses to agree to the results of an election. Mm-hmm. And because they disagree, they disagree with the results of an election and refuse to accept the, it's what's it called, the change in power, the peaceful shift. Yeah.
Peaceful transfer
of power. They say we're not going to have it.
Do you think we'll see it in your lifetime yet?
I think we're going to see some kind of... See, here's the other thing is I don't know whether it's going to be civil war or just it could be a cyber war rather than a shooting war. It could be a lot of different things. And I don't know whether the banks are going to go under... And stimulate this. There could be all kinds of things happening at the same time.
Talking about a cyber war, I think it's interesting when you look at how dependent society has become on technology in so many ways that we don't even realize the level of dependence that's been created, that once you take away that pillar, how vulnerable everything becomes. And it's happened so fast, and it's so pervasive.
I think you're spot on, because I've often said, you know, this is very cynical, half our problems could be solved if just for some reason Facebook and Google went down for a month.
That'd be the best thing I think they could have.
Everybody would have to start talking to each other, and everybody would have to start having
face-to-face
conversations and discussions. Whether they're upset or not, they'd still have to do it, and it might force me to write a written letter to my pals, you know, in North Carolina rather than just... Mm-hmm. talking to him on the net.
Quick disclaimer, that makes our podcast very difficult to disseminate to the public if we don't have those engines.
So. I understand that.
But by the way, do you want the train wreck going to location one or location two?
Yeah, right. Exactly. He's like, you guys go to location two. I'll be at location one.
But I encourage you, even, you know, we can sit and joke to a certain degree about it here, but I encourage you all to start putting some stuff, you know, in the back closet, and just have enough. Don't have just guns and ammo. You need to have some other stuff, you know?
Right.
If you're taking any meds on a regular basis, tell your doc you want some extra ones.
Are they willing to do that?
Yeah, if you talk to your doctor enough and you say you want
a second. Med.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Opiates, no.
No. You know? But it's like I've got all my heart meds. I've got 2 months worth of stockpile should something happen. And I actually don't think I may even need them, because I've skipped a couple of days and I feel just fine. So
in your prepping, do you think about if you go into an extreme scenario where you think, okay, I have supplies that'll last this long for so many people, but here's where I would go to get more? I mean, because you talk about what other people do. Both you and Maddie have said this about what other people would do. Do you see yourself where you would ever get yourself to that point where you would go after someone else's resources or raiding a store or something like that, because you know we're in a store.
I don't think I would raid. I might offer to buy stuff. Mm-hmm. But see, my concept is I want to be able to eat and defend what I've got for about 6 months until the weather warms up and I can put some seeds in the ground and I can start to raise.
So your prepping doesn't involve, you're trying to do it without having to go that route.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's what I want to make sure. Yep.
In secret, hidden, mm-hmm. if at all possible, away. you guys go and rob
stores.
But that's
what's difficult for the cities, right? I mean, in the cities, that's a total chaos.
Cities
in 5 days.
Density, population density.
To your point about, and we mentioned this before, but just the modernization and supply chain. You know, I mean, I ordered something on Amazon yesterday, and it came today,
yeah.
Right? I mean, that all stops in mm-hmm. grocery stores and everything where we have this. It's so wonderful when it's all working, but if it goes down... And by the way, it's interesting. There was precedent. I think it was like the early 1800s. There was a solar flare. There was a solar flare, and it
yep.
knocked out all the power grids in, or at least a huge portion
yeah,
of the
all
country.
The telegraphs.
However,
everything.
At that time, not a lot of things were electrified. Right.
We weren't dependent.
Today,
on
it. So this is a very natural, real occurrence. I mean, I'm sure people roll
yep.
their eyes when they start listening to you talk a little bit, but it's like there's precedent for. Such things happening in today.
I'm curious as to what prepping the nation has done, not at the individual basis, but maybe on a government. You talk about transformers going down. Are there companies that have backup transformers sitting in warehouses saying, okay, we have replacement transformers that can be put back in?
No, there are not replacement transformers. They're built one-offs.
Yeah.
Like somebody said, I think they're millions of dollars a piece.
And they take so long to make.
3 years to make.
Do they
years.
Have backups anyway? I'm just
no, I do not believe they do. I think the other entities that have backups are all the people in Washington have places they can go with fully stocked bunkers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and by the way, you don't need a bunker. You can store food in your basement just as long as it's cool.
Do you believe in having your own energy supply, solar panels?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Mills, all of that.
I've got solar for charging batteries. Mm-hmm. I've got a lot of a nice stock of rechargeable batteries.
Mm-hmm.
I have all of my radio gear. I'm a licensed ham radio operator.
Nice. That's good.
I have that stored in what's called a Faraday cage.
Yeah.
And you can build a Faraday cage out of a galvanized metal trash can. You line it with cardboard. And you put your items in there, and it protects it from an EMT. So if we do get hit, some of my vital comms gear and measurement gear, my device for measuring radiation is in there because it's electronic. You know,
Geiger counter kind of.
It's like that. It's a little higher tech than that, so... But those are all protected. And I think, again, I look at it as it's like buying insurance. Think about it. You buy insurance, you hope you never have to use it. Mm-hmm. I hope I never have to use it. And every so often I go down and say, hey, honey, we're having canned meat tonight because this one has, been around for 8 years.
Start
and I'm going to restock. Yeah, so. No.
Just kidding.
So, yeah, corned beef, you know. Mm-hmm. So... And Spam, believe it or not, Spam,
sure.
As a kid, you fry it up, it's great.
Wasn't that a military invention, Spam?
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, you got to think about all the different aspects that could potentially come along. Not live in fear of them happening, just saying, what would I do? What do I think is important? So,
yeah, I look at it like... And just like you said with insurance, it's if you want to protect yourself against a risk, you get yourself insured. This is your way of doing it in these scenarios.
Yeah, it's like if you had a if you had a really big... you had two live chickens, and I said, man, I'd really like to have those chickens. And, they're clucking away, and they're making eggs and everything. And you said, well, yeah, but you're going to have to give me a lot of money. I'd look at you and say, yeah, but I got 2/5 of Jack Daniels. Would you take the Jack Daniels in exchange for the chickens? That might be more up your alley. And you might say, yeah, get these nasty things out of my house, and
mm-hmm.
I'll take the whiskey.
It's a barter system.
It's a barter system.
And that's where I go back to the gold thing. Is it, in these extreme scenarios.
Yeah, you can't barter with gold.
Bartering, to me, the gold almost does, in only certain very specific scenarios, would that actually have applied value?
Right. A financial calamity, it might...
Even then.
Yeah, even then.
That's what I always say, because I know people that have... Well, I've got gold, I've got silver, and I'm like, I think that's okay. That could
sure.
be part of the plan. But I'm like, but if you really run all the way to the end of that road, I'm like, trade me your bar of gold for my last can of soup. I'm going to look at my kids and go, we're having soup tonight, kids, not gold.
Yeah, we're not eating gold.
So I think it's fascinating because I think a lot of people do roll their eyes and they think it's foolish. But at the end of the day, I mean, what's more foolish, being a little bit maybe overprepared or being totally oblivious?
Yeah, and I think some... I don't know if you can be over-prepared. There's a rule that one is none and two is...
Some.
So having backup systems to everything, I think, is critical. I mean, whether it's, my stockpiles of meds, whether it's cortisone cream that you buy at Walgreens. Well, I got two tubes of it in my over-the-counter box, just in case I need two. So that's the thought. I don't think I'm over-prepared.
Right.
You know, some people might say.
You mentioned a book earlier. Are there any books for any listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. The first book to read, even before this one, is Patriots by Jim Rawls, former U.S. Army intelligence officer. He's got a blog called Survival Blog that's really good. He's a brilliant guy. He speaks periodic. Nobody knows where he is because he will not appear anywhere in person. Everything is done over the internet, over Skype. He'll Skype. And he's never live. It's always a photograph of him, but it's him talking.
I think we've had him in our top secret headquarters.
Yeah. There you go. But the other series of book I want to recommend, there's another guy by the name of Matt Bracken, M-A-T-T Bracken, B-R-A-C-K-E-N. He wrote a trilogy of books called Enemies, Foreign, and Domestic. And the books are novels, kind of like Patriots is a novel, but intertwined are all these great solutions to the problem that the heroine and the hero encounter that are bona fide. So you're reading this novel and he's telling you what to do in that scenario.
Fictional novel
with real solutions. Mm-hmm. The best part is he's a former Navy SEAL intelligence officer, spent a lot of time in Beirut, and he's got the analytical abilities to see around corners. He calls stuff 9 times out of 10. You read these 3 novels or Google them and read his essays. He's got a couple of essays that are absolutely outstanding that you can read for free. And then the books he publishes free on Kindle periodically, but then you're going to want the hard copies because you'll wear them out just reading them, and they're really good. But Matt Bracken is the other guy. Interestingly, both of these guys were military intelligence officers, so they always had to be looking at scenarios
and gaming
scenarios. Mm-hmm. What would happen if X does this? What's Y gonna do? So
Kramer can't read, so maybe that's a skill he can.
Yeah, I like that part where you said there's pictures.
Yeah, a lot of pictures.
Yeah,
they're great YouTube videos. Look, you know, both of those guys, look them up on YouTube. You'll find some videos by them. So.
Great.
Awesome. Well, thank you for being here today.
You betcha. Any other questions or anything?
You know what? We actually have something for you.
Oh, do I get one of these trucker hats?
It's in the magic closet.
Zook and Lou hats sent our guest.
Oh, some Zook and Lou sunglasses.
They're survival glasses.
There's Zook and...
They block nuclear winter.
Zook and Lou hats.
Yeah. So you.
What a riot.
Yeah. So those are for you.
They're great. I look just like the Blues Brothers.
Yeah. So thanks for having me. We may want to have more discussion, and if there's other topics that come up.
Yeah, if it ever comes up, I'm more than happy to talk to you about it. It's
awesome.
We appreciate it. I'm pretty low key about it. I'm not one of these guys in a bunker with sandbags. I just believe in being. I want to be the guy who knows what to do when something goes south, or at least look up and go, oh, we got a plan for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice. Well, it was a pleasure having you. Thank you for coming here to the Top Secret Headquarters. And until next time, we've got some other got some great interviews coming up. And thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Monthly Trainwreck. Please subscribe and listen for our next extraordinary interview by 5 ordinary individuals. Also, check out our website at monthlytrainwreck.com. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Google Play. We are soon to be your favorite podcast.